Good morning. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls and questions until after the top of the hour, and then they're welcome here live on the radio. The number to call, if you want to jot that down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment live to our guest. Our guest today from the Grants Pass City Council, Mayor Sarah Bristol and Councillor Jewel King. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO. Glad to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, first of all, let's just say there have been lots of things on the council's plate here recently, dealing with the public and public safety funding and all of that. But what are you hearing from your constituents now? We've got some things on already on the ballot or coming up. Some decisions have been made. What are your constituents telling you? First of all, Sarah, what are you hearing from your people?
Well, I think the community is continuing to talk quite a bit about the homeless situation in the parks and public safety, how we're going to manage that going forward. We do have our court case coming up. The Supreme Court of the U.S. will be listening to that, open oral arguments next month, and then making their decision by the end of June. So that's on the horizon here, I guess, getting some clarity on that court case. And then in the meantime, we have a mix of local business that we're always taking care of.
All right. Joel, what are your constituents telling you?
Well, there's been a focus lately, as Sarah knows well, too, on public safety. Because of our city budget situation, and we've had a shortfall, and we've made some cuts the last 3 years. We've had a forum. We had a survey. We've had outreach to different groups looking at the advantages and disadvantages of getting different types of funding. And we're in the process of trying to assimilate that in a socially acceptable manner and moving forward. It seems like for the most part, most people support public safety. They're fire and the police. There's a couple that want a cut. We also hear that. But for the vast majority, want to fund them, and so that's what I'm hearing as we move forward.
Let me just see if I can't paraphrase and kind of put in perspective what we've been seeing here as a casual observer of the Grants Pass City Council, in that agreed everybody wants to fund public safety for the most part, by and large. Certainly over 90% of the people that we see come in want to fund public safety. How that's done, however, is another situation, and we actually set out a path to get that done initially. And that being said, after watching the last few city council meetings, does the council, and let me footnote this by saying that I know you get great coverage in the Courier and you get good coverage here on this triumvirate of radio stations that we have here, but it seems like a lot of the public is not informed, and that's, Bob, I'm not pointing fingers at them, but they don't seem to be up to date on what the council is dealing with, and you spend most of your time in those meetings reestablishing what that you've already done. Does the council need a better way to reach out to the public? Is there a way to do that? Has that crossed your minds? There you go.
You know, I think having been a journalist myself, this is a huge topic of thought and conversation for me, because I think that we are seeing an era right now where we have more information sources than ever, 24/7 on our, on our phones, on our radio, in the news, TV. And yet people are maybe less informed than ever as well. And lots of opinions without necessarily having the base of knowledge. And it is hard to keep up with people. And it would adding, we could do a city newsletter, which we don't have at this point, an insert in the utility bill or something mailed home. Does that just become one more piece of clutter, or does it actually help? It's hard to say, because I think people are just bombarded with information all the time, and sorting out what's true and what's not is getting very hard. So it's a big question, but I think you're right in terms of our meetings. People oftentimes are not following, every step that the city council takes, and I don't blame them. There's plenty of things that I don't track.
People are
as
making
well.
Making their livings, working on a day to day basis. I can understand some of it. But.
Absolutely, you know, and yet these are important decisions that that make a difference to people, right? And so we had recently our last city council meeting. We were talking about a food and beverage tax that would put a 3% tax on food that you purchase at a restaurant or kind of a deli counter. And, you know, we had a lot of restaurateurs that are very busy people, right, running their small businesses and their restaurants, and they took the time to come to the meeting, and they don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of why we're talking about that. They just know how it will affect them. And so there's a lot of passion and fear sometimes about certain topics like that. And we got to try to catch people up, but it's tough and
all right.
Beyond Grants Pass. It's Joel, a global problem.
Joel, I'm sure, has an answer for us. You're going to fix it all right, Joel. Yeah.
Well, the answer is yes, we can we can do more. You can always do more. But as Sarah said, it's very challenging. The world is such a busy place. I know when I wasn't on city council and I was working full-time and I had a family, that was my priority. So the last thing I did was pay attention. I voted and was an educated voter, but that was about it because I was my plate was full. So as we move forward, we need to be available to people. We need to continue to have these forums like we've had, the surveys like we've had, the two forms, the one where we ask people the advantages and disadvantages of each different type of funding mechanism in the community. The answer is yes.
All right. moving in that direction, when I hear something that's going to cost me money, that's when I show up at the city council meetings. If you're taking it out of my pocket, I want to know why and how it's going and what have you done to try to mitigate that. And I think that was the big motivating factor for the last few meetings, particularly when we're talking about public safety and the law enforcement fee on the utility bill. I know we've reached out to the Chamber of Commerce. I knew that they were certainly against any kind of tax that puts an extra burden on businesses. But at the same time, the council went ahead and put that food and beverage tax out. And now it will go to the ballot in November, I believe. Is that accurate?
That's the current path that the council decided on. We have more conversations about that before we get to a point where we know exactly what would be on the ballot, because what we had talked about at the last meeting was the idea of a 3% tax. And so the council, that decision is not firm yet.
And that was on food and beverage.
Yes, a food and beverage 3% tax, and we, you know, but now we did establish a $12 utility fee, and I think the council, we need to work out the exact language, right? If, you know, confirm, I guess, do we actually want to put something on the ballot, and what would the percentage be? How much money would that raise? What would be included? What would be excluded? And get all the details hammered out before we actually submit the ballot language to the elections office.
Now, I'm under the impression that most of that has been figured out. I've seen things that, you know, liquor is not going to be included because of the OSAA. I've been chasing sports teams here too much.
OLC.
The OLCC. because of the OLCC. Basically, we're talking about prepared foods. You go into the grocery store and you buy a dozen eggs, that's not going to be taxed. But if you go over to the deli and you buy a prepared chicken, that would be taxed.
Yes,
mostly in restaurants is where that situation would happen. Yes, Joel.
So, Chuck, you're correct. So if we did put it up for a vote, and if it was voted in, those two steps have to go first, then what you describe is correct. We have to pass those two steps first. If we put it on the ballot and we still can decide not to, and if the ballot measure gets approved.
Okay, so those things, and we don't, I think August is the deadline for getting that on the November ballot.
Is that
accurate?
So, yeah, I mean, the reason I don't mean to sound wishy-washy on this, but we have seen the council change direction on this issue a number of times. Right. And I know, you know, I don't blame anyone because in my own mind, it's a very complicated issue. And we have several different levels of problem we're trying to solve, and they have perhaps different solutions. And the different taxing mechanisms do impact different people in different ways. And so it's a complicated puzzle. But, you know, we had a budget shortfall that we're facing for this coming fiscal year of $3.3 million for public safety. And so the $12 utility fee that we implemented, which it won't be $12 for businesses, it'll be more, but $12 is the rate for a single family household. That covers the $3.3 million gap. But then there's also a question of whether we want to add more staff. And then there's also an issue where we have been spending the general fund to capacity for several years now. The general fund is the pot of money at the city that the city council has control over, because almost all of our funds are restricted funds that need to be spent on specific purposes, but the city council has some discretion over the general fund. And in a lot of cases, that would be your go-to for specific priorities for the year, whether that's buying a new fire engine or putting a new roof on City Hall or putting in a new playground or any number of different city things, you know, that can change from year to year. And lately, we just haven't had any discretionary funds because we're choosing, right, to spend it all on public safety and not make cuts to public safety because we know how important that is.
And if I'm a businessman and I come in and hear that they're going to make me tax all of my customers an extra 3% when they've got all that fat sitting around City Hall. So why don't you cut your budget? Why don't you cut elsewhere? All right. Have you heard that before?
So one
many
of the
times.
Things, one of the information is a two-way street.
Right.
And we don't know everything that there is to know, but we do learn as we move along. When I first came on council, it was the year before Sarah was elected. We cut, I believe it was, a $1.5 million from the budget during the budget committee process. And then the next year, I think we cut another million. And then last year, I can't remember the exact amount, but we cut again. And then the other thing, we've been very fiscally conservative, which has advantages and disadvantages in filling vacant positions. And so we have a lot of unfilled positions as we move forward, which has given us a little latitude in the funds going into the next year, but it's not a sustainable method. So when you talk about cutting, 3 years worth of cutting, and then somebody comes up and tells me I need to cut. You know, I understand that, and I know they believe that. And there's consequences to that. I don't think we've seen it up to this point in time for the last 3 years worth of cuts, but coming into the fourth, and if it continues, which it would without supplemental funding, Grants Pass wouldn't be the city that you want.
I think when we talk about cuts too, I think the council has, as Joel said, made some cuts and frozen some positions over the last several years. One of the things that we've cut the most is setting aside money for facilities maintenance and for fleet replacement, and so the public doesn't see that, right? That but I think most people would expect that it's good financial practice for the city to be setting aside, let's say, I mean, if a fire truck costs $800,000 or $1 million, and they do, these big fire engines, you know, if you set aside $100,000 each year for 10 years, you have enough money to buy a fire engine when the 10th year comes. And right now we're not setting aside any money for fleet replacement, for new roofs, for playground equipment, things like that, that are in some ways the things that you can put off. You know, I do it at my own house, right? You know, you could put things off for a little while, and then eventually those costs do catch up with you. And I think infrastructure in the U.S., we've seen quite a bit of this, where roads and pipes, you know, I mean, Flint, Michigan and their water pipe situation and
delayed
and all
maintenance.
These things, delayed, yeah, deferred maintenance. Exactly. Someday it catches up with you. And how do you replace all the pipes for a whole city, you know, in a crisis? And so you want to be always making little repairs and setting aside little money, a little bit of money at a time. And so we're not doing that at this point. And that's one of the biggest cuts in terms of the general fund. You know, I, you know, sometimes use playground equipment because I think that's something that people can wrap their heads around. And obviously that is a more fun thing, right? So in some ways it seems frivolous, and yet people want maintained parks. And we have been choosing to continue to do flower baskets at a cost of, I want to say, maybe $25,000 or $30,000 a year.
When we funded that with tourism dollars.
Right. And there's, you know, there's certain ways that certain things you can fund with certain types of money and certain things you can't. But some of those things, you know, people will say, why do you still have fire, you know, flower baskets when you're talking about potentially cutting firefighters or police?
If I may interrupt here on this morning's news, grants going in to make more parklets downtown, you know.
Right.
And significant grants going out to encourage that. At the same time, we're not improving our police force. But those funds are earmarked, are they not?
So what we have are different funds that legally can only be spent on certain items. The general fund has the least restriction, and that's where a lot of the fall down in public safety is coming from, and that's becoming an even bigger part of that general fund pie, and it's not sustainable. But you have things like tourism dollars, which is the motel tax, that legally has limits on what it can be spent for. You have urban renewal dollars that legally has restrictions on what it could be spent for. You have water dollars for infrastructure, like water treatment plants, pipes, those kind of things, what those can be spent for. So we can't collect money, for example, we can't collect money from you for your water bill, paying for your water, and use it to fund police. That's not in a legal means. And so you have these different columns of funding that can be used for different things. And so as we move forward for the benefit of the city, you're going to see these other funds, like Urban Renewal Fund, is fairly healthy. And so you're going to see some projects like the downtown center being funded, or not the downtown center, but the Owl parking lot being funded with urban renewal dollars. The parklets, I can't remember right now what they were being funded at, but I think they were being funded through COVID dollars, weren't they? That was a grant from the federal government, not from the general fund, and taken away from public safety. And you can't use COVID dollars to fund your public safety.
All right. We basically just this morning at this point rehashed what we've been going through right now. And we've got a public safety fee coming up on your water bills. When's that going to be instituted, incidentally?
I believe it's June that it takes effect.
At the end of the fiscal year or in beginning of June?
I think it's actually June, not July.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's coming up. Initially $12 for a single-family residence. I want to say about $47 for most average businesses.
Yeah, it's $40. It's $39.96.
Okay. All right. We've talked about what's coming up on the ballot. In either of yours mind, is there a way to fix this other than going right back into the citizens' pockets? Is it better education for the citizens? Would you rather see something else other than a food and beverage tax? Either one of you. And I know we may have two different opinions here.
Well, there's a lot of options. There's a fire district. It's been voted down before. The county put up a sales tax. That would include the city. That was voted down. I don't know what that was voted down.
80% voted against
yeah,
it, yes.
Yeah. So that was dramatically defeated. You know, we've looked at a lot of different things. We looked at a gas tax that I'm not sure that would be legal to fund public services, but for our roads, and that was voted down. So as we move forward, we're going to have to come together as a community and decide what we're going to be. This whole issue is not limited to Grants Pass. I think every city in the state of Oregon is grappling with it. You see public safety fees on the water bills of Medford, Ashland, Jacksonville. They're looking at increasing it. Jacksonville's looking at the retention problems with their firefighters. They're losing firefighters. I think there was one town in eastern Oregon that politically it became very explosive as they tried to look at it. And I think the mayor resigned or was recalled, and half the city council, and there was nobody left to govern the city. So
there's a
you two are not leaving, right?
No.
You're not bailing on us.
Not in the next 5 minutes.
All right, Sarah, I've got about 1 minute before news. Do you want to weigh in on what Joel was saying?
Well, we have looked at a number of different options, and they all have different pros and cons. I think the reason why we still talk about a sales tax or a restaurant tax is that distributes the way we collect it differently, and it allows people to have some choice over how much they spend. And obviously, people with more money spend more money on eating out or on items that they purchase than people who are just scraping by. And so the downside of the utility fee is that it is a fairly regressive tax that makes everybody pay $12 a month, regardless of your income or your household size. And so some of us have thought that the sales tax, even though we know it's been unpopular at the ballot. And
about 15 seconds, Sarah.
Okay. I'm a native Oregonian here, and I know I don't like sales tax, but it does have its benefits too. So we could talk about that more after the break.
All right. Thank you very much. Stay tuned.
Professional performance.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest today, we have the mayor and a city councilor on board, so you can tell them exactly how you'd like to have public safety funded. The phone number, 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And welcome once again, Mayor Bristol and Councilor King, to the microphones of KAJO Radio. We pretty much went through what is happening with the public safety funding situation that the city has been certainly mindful of for the last several years, quite frankly. So we've got a fee coming up on your utility bill beginning in June of about $12 for each individual residence. And then something coming up probably in the November election, we'll know by August what the council decides to put on it. Currently, it's a 3% food and beverage tax that would go on. At least that was the last opinion. Anything that we need to add to it? Is there an area that we need to change or enlighten the people about right now before we move on to any other topic? Joel, yeah.
So one of the things that we're facing coming up, it's always good to look into the future and plan. It's good to have a plan. You know, without a plan, that doesn't work very well. Measure 110 makes it illegal to consume illegal drugs in a public place. And then the modifications to Measure 110 allow for the courts, as they come up, to offer alternative treatment so they don't have to be incarcerated. The penalty is a misdemeanor that would require some time in jail, and then repeat offenders, the sentence goes up. One of the things that we're facing is, of course, if you have a lot of those people, that puts a burden then on your court system and on your jail. And so public defenders, jail services, the county, I was talking the other day with a person from the county, and they said, well, we don't have the money in the jail to serve the anticipated workload that might come, and we're going to have the city offset and pay their fair share. It's not decided, but as we abide by the changes in Measure 110 and try to make them effective so that we don't have drugs in our parks, it's going to take money to do that in terms of the court system and the jail system, and then treatment beds. The outpatient services for mental health and addiction are fairly adequate in our town and county. statewide, the number of beds available to treat addicts is sorely lacking. And that costs money. So that is yet to be solved. We'll see where it goes. I kind of feel like China during the opium wars, where somebody's pushing opium on us, and we're suffering all the consequences with and somebody else is getting the benefits of the dollars. So anyway, that's coming up on us.
Okay, so we've got changes to Measure 110 that now provide a penalty should you not choose to get into some sort of treatment plan. Is that a fair assessment of what we see happening in the legislature?
Yes.
Okay, so footnote that our Grants Pass Police Department has been the most active police department in issuing citations statewide under Measure 110, which basically is a traffic ticket that most of them don't show up for anyway. So that being said, when this goes into effect, it could really fill our jails. And have we talked to the district attorney locally to find out how they're going to handle that situation, or are they preparing for it, or is that out of your bailiwick right now?
It's on the horizon and not on our desk.
Push that to somebody else's desk right now. Okay, so that's something to at least anticipate and keep an eye on as this year progresses. Moving ahead, there are some other things coming up. First of all, I've kind of perused tomorrow night's agenda, which looks a lot more attractive than the last meeting agenda that went to 12:30 at night. At any rate, coming up tomorrow night, the council is going to have the second reading of that amendment to the municipal code regarding the regulation of human service events on publicly owned property, i.e. handing out food and clean meals in a park, just to put a footnote on it. Do we anticipate any difference? Because it's a second reading, it was not unanimous. What do we anticipate tomorrow night? And have I phrased that accurately?
It is a second reading. So when we have an ordinance, which is a change in the city law, as opposed to just a kind of a statement of direction or a resolution, is a rule, but not binding in the same way that an ordinance is. So we are required to do a second reading. If we do it unanimously at the Grants Pass City Council, we have a council rule that we can do it two times in a row. So sometimes people see us vote on the same thing immediately after we've just voted on it, and that always does feel a little silly. But if it's unanimous, it just saves us a step. If it's not unanimous, then we go to a second reading at the next meeting. And tomorrow night, there is always a potential for a change. I believe that vote was 5-3 the first time. I have heard one counselor at least talk about suggesting an amendment that wasn't made the first night we voted on it. So if that gets any traction, it could definitely cause the council to pause and change their votes and potentially vote on it. You know, it would come up again if they wanted to make any change. But it's, you know, I don't know what the majority thinks, right?
Okay, Joel, yes.
Well, I need to applaud the people that put that proposal together. It was MINT, which is a bunch of volunteers that are concerned about the homeless. It was some of the providers, the medical providers and the social providers in the park that met with our city attorney, and they jointly put something together, I think, for the benefit of the city and the future and also people in the park. So I applaud them for their efforts.
Now, this does not eliminate people handing out humanitarian aid in the park. And I put humanitarian aid in. It just regulates it and gives it a little more control to the city. Is that accurate? And what really is being controlled here?
So first off, nothing illegal can be done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying or implying that it was, but people can't distribute drugs or drug paraphernalia, things like that. It requires a time and place. It's not just willy-nilly. It doesn't stop me as an individual from going down there and sharing coffee and donuts with people just to see where they're at and where they're coming from, or any other individual that has a spare coat or whatever and want to share it with people. And then it also involves some statistics so that we know how many people are being served and where they're being referred to and how effective it is. Because right now we don't know that. And then the other thing is it coordinates with other users of the group. So, for example, a church group, if they use the park, they get a permit, they go down, and they have exclusive use of that area, you know, and it's coordinated with other uses. You don't have two permits mm-hmm. for the same place at the same time. And so it's that type of principle that would apply to these groups that are trying to help people better their lives.
All right. Just before Mary jump in here, one quick question for Joel here. You said no drug paraphernalia. Does that eliminate the passing out of clean needles?
So what we have now, the needles are being passed out at United Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
They step forward, that's where they're being passed out. Whether the legislation or the code would prohibit needle exchange in the park, do you remember, Sarah? I don't remember. I meant to bring it with me, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I don't know. I do know in terms of this ordinance, first of all, it is people have a First Amendment right. Free speech includes your ability to go down and talk to people at the park. And so whether you're an individual or a group, they do have the right to provide, you know, like Joel said, donuts and coffee or different services to the unhoused population. And so we don't want to infringe on their right to do that. This ordinance, I think people, the general public won't see any sort of change. This is a fairly, I would call it a light ordinance that does allow for some tracking and some coordination, but isn't going to stop services from being offered in the parks in any sort of broad sweeping way. And you're really not going to see a change from a general public standpoint with regard to that ordinance. It's put some parameters on the services that are being offered, but it's not going to be anything that it's going to make a difference, you know, in terms of cleaning up our situation in the parks.
All right, Sarah, I know that you were jumping to get into the bit just before we asked Joel that final question. Was that what you were talking about? Did we give you the opportunity here to respond to that?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's move on just a little bit because we're still talking about the homeless and the situations in the park. And, of course, that will fall on the Supreme Court, where many eyes are trained these days. Coming up in midsummer, we should have some direction here. What do we expect from the Supreme Court if we get a ruling favorable to Grants Pass? What would that ruling be, and what would it change in effect? Do we have an answer to any one of those questions?
I don't want to predict. I can't predict what they're going to do. I think in terms of how we react, I know that in the 3 years since I've been mayor, and this lawsuit was, the city had already lost the lawsuit and appealed the lawsuit before I became mayor 3 years ago. So during this past 3 years, I would say we've been largely in a holding pattern because we've known, you know, the case was under appeal and it was going to go to the Ninth Circuit and now it's going to the Supreme Court. And so we don't have a finality on what the court ruling is. And so one way or another, I guess I'm looking forward to having a final decision from the Supreme Court, and then we'll know, you know, no more appeals after that. And we'll be able to make some firm decisions about how we want to move forward. As far as I'm concerned, Grants Pass does need to provide a legal place for people to go. I would really love to clean up our parks and get people out of the parks. I get a lot of people saying that the people are in the parks because the mayor wants them there, and that's absolutely not true. I don't want people camping in our parks. And I do think that they need to have a place to go. So I've been working on helping establish shelters so that people will be able to be somewhere and sleep at night. Whether it's an outdoor campground or an indoor shelter, we may need both eventually. I don't have strong feelings about what the shelter needs to look like in that sense, but I do know that I want people out of our parks, and so I hope that one way or another we'll be able to get there.
Now, regardless of what the Supreme Court does, that's not necessarily going to provide us with an answer to our significant situation here.
It's true.
And that's regardless of what the Supreme Court does. So we do need that, what is the right term, a low barrier area for our homeless population? to camp in, to go to?
I think we do. I mean, I'm not under the impression that people are going to disappear. So, for example, I mean, if the court totally overturned the previous decision and said that we could enforce our camping ordinances and not allow any sort of camping in the public places, I think some people have some wishful thinking about what's going to happen to those people, which we know. I mean, there's, I don't know if I could find maybe 200 people camping around Grants Pass right now if I visited all the parks and streets where I know people park. And so if we were able to just move them out of the parks, where are they going to go? And I think a lot of people don't have to think about that part of the problem, or they think maybe they think people will go to another city, but I think that we will have 200 people still who need someplace to go. And that to me is where the shelter comes in, is that we have to move people to a different place, and then we have to start working with them. And people have different needs and different reasons why they're homeless. And one by one, we have to work on how to tackle their issues so that they can get back to a place where they're not living on our streets and our parks.
Now, there have been several proposals already out there that have been gone by the wayside for low barrier places, the Elks Club and a lot of different vacant places around the area. And then it's the NIMBY that steps up and says, not in my neighborhood. Is there one group that is working on a viable alternative to that situation that either one of you might be aware of right now? Is there a place to look forward to?
So I'm going to take one step back a little bit. I thought about this the other day. So it's a constitutional right that the city has to provide beds for anybody that comes to that city. Otherwise, they can take the parks away from the people. That doesn't make any sense to me. Regardless of that, we need to abide by the laws of our land. If the Supreme Court does find for us, we still have the state law that codifies the same restrictions as the injunction. And so we look at that, and then we'll need to deal with that appropriately. As we move forward, you know, to help people that are homeless, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. To say that it's a constitutional right if they come here, we have to provide a bed for them is maybe an overstep. But it doesn't mean that we can't care and take care of folks. One of the things that I personally thought about was, okay, synergy of integration. Those are two big words that really don't mean anything. And the other thing that goes with it is the richness of relationships overcome scarcity of resources. So if we want to provide a shelter, which isn't a bad thing, in addition to the other shelters that I can tell you about that are already in place, and we've had four shelters pop up in the last 2 years dealing with specific conditions, it would be good to have that be a part of an economic development strategy, like Spalding Park for the infrastructure, or a future park that when it's no longer needed as a housing facility, that it can be a public park and resort back to public use. But anyway, that this money then becomes not only an investment in these people's personal lives, but an investment in the economic or social future of the city. And that would be a wonderful thing.
Well, we'll look for wonderful things when we come back right after this word. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us today. We're down to our last about 3.5 minutes of Tuesday Talk Show today, and we've covered a lot of topics, and we could probably go on for another hour here with the Mayor Sarah Bristol and Councillor Joel King, both in studio. Joel, we've got about 3 minutes left here. I'll give you a minute and a half to recap anything that you need to or what people should take away from today's program.
Okay, so I just wanted to summarize.
Wait, okay. I pressed the right buttons. You're on again.
Oh, okay.
Operator error.
Not a problem. So I just like to let people know what's going on in their community, because it's been pretty low-key, but it's been pretty effective. So we now have a networking center called The Hub, a community resource center by Options, which is where people can go for services, and it will direct them, like a navigation center. They have case management. They have peer support. They got harm reduction, and they got groups. They got employment. They got housing resources, they've been doing a good job. The other thing that's happening is OnTrack right now has an operational facility for youth that are addicted, and they've had their first round of addicted youth go through, and they're in transitional housing to be reintroduced to the community. And then the council got a grant last year from the state that we invested in them, which they are now putting into effect for adults. For a residential treatment bed, options added 10 more 10 more units for their transitional housing for mental health. We have three children's programs that are working, and Josephine County Health Department now is working a little better with the county jail and providing services there. Mm-hmm.
Joel, I've got to almost cut you off and give the mayor another minute and a half, too.
Okay. Anyway, there's a lot going on.
All right. Sarah, what should people take away from today's show?
Oof, there's been a lot to talk about. And, you know, I think the important thing for me is I do appreciate everybody who's listening in, and I appreciate you for asking the questions, and to just, you know, keep an eye on what's real and what's not, and ask questions, because I think, you know, the city councilors are happy to answer questions, and I am too, and I'd rather have people come from a point of information than making up the filling in between the lines, I guess, on their own. And we have a lot of good people in this community who are doing a lot of good things, and we are very conscientious about public safety and about the parks and about how we are going to tax people or not tax people. These are tough questions. We're all citizens living here in this community, and we're all here because we care about this community. So keep in mind the good intentions, and we can work together to solve these problems.
Mayor, thank you very much. Councillor King, thank you all very much. And we'll have our eye on you tomorrow evening during the City Council meeting. Gets underway at 6 o'clock at City Council Chambers. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO AM 1270. Get ready.